Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight was born in Berlin, Germany, and grew up in Shanghai, China. A pop culture icon, his bold colors, uplifting images, and uncommon artistic diversity have touched almost every phase of American culture. His Statue of Liberty series led to his teaming with Chrysler CEO Lee Iacocca to spearhead raising $262 million for the restoration of the statue. The most well-known living artist in the world today, his name, Peter Max. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with the most famous living artist in the world today, Peter Max. Peter, what an honor to have you.
Oh, it's so kind of you. Thank you so much. It's really great being with you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, let's see. I had an amazing childhood. You know, born in Berlin, but by the age of 7 months, my parents migrated to Shanghai, where I got to live there for 10 and a half years. And so you can imagine a little European boy growing up in the middle of, you know, Asia and getting all of that stuff, you know. And, I mean, I got to know the Chinese culture inside out. I had, you know, quite a few European friends, but lots of Chinese friends. And, you know, I used to eat dinners at their house in the Chinese apartments, and I got to meet all their siblings and everything because we lived in a neighborhood that was very mixed, maybe two-thirds or three-quarters Chinese and maybe one-third European. And I just thought I was like one of them. I didn't even, you know, I couldn't relate to any other culture because I was too young when I left. So it was really amazing, and it affected me probably for the rest of my life in a real positive way.
What's the biggest thing, Peter, you learned from your dad? And what's the biggest thing you learned from your mom?
Well, my dad was really entrepreneurial. And he opened several businesses in Shanghai. And amongst quite a few of the immigrants, he was one of the more successful ones. And he was always innovative. And he owned stores, and he had a distribution business. And there were quite a few Europeans in Shanghai, I think over 10,000. And he imported materials for them to make their suits, you know. And then he had Chinese tailors that made, you know, European suits and all kinds of stuff like that. But he was always very entrepreneurial and innovative and so forth. And he was a very, very good father. I was an only child. And my mother was like the sweetest sweetheart in the world. She was loving and kind. Loving and kind to all my friends. Everybody who ever came to my house was like, could have been like a brother. They felt very, very at home with me in my own home. And we lived in a very nice area in Shanghai. Overlooking out of my window, there was a garden. And behind the garden, after the garden, was a Sikh temple, which is Hindu. You know, the Sikhs wear the turbans. They're from India, and the people who wear the turbans there, they're Sikhs.
Yes.
And so there was a Sikh temple, and there must have been hundreds and hundreds of Sikhs there every day, and they were praying and so forth. And it kind of the vibe, you know, that came from maybe 150 feet away on a daily basis affected me, you know, the spirituality. I loved it. I loved the chanting, and I loved the praying. I loved the sounds that came from out of there, the bells and the... You know, the clangs and the gongs. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And then when I walked out of the house there, I was in the middle of Shanghai. And the Chinese people are also like an amazing culture. They were so good and kind to us. You know, while a lot of people in Europe, you know, what happened was horrible, right?
Yes.
And here we were so protected, and the Chinese were so protected of us. It was unbelievable.
Peter Max, where did you get your love for art?
At the age of maybe 4 or 5 years old, my mother hired a nanny. They used to call them in China an ama. And back then, these girls started very young. You know, it's not like they all went to school. I think she was 9 or 10 years old. And I was like 3 or 4. And she stayed with me for maybe 8, 9 years till she was about 16, 17. And she used to love to draw. So every day she would bring pads and paper, and she drew and I drew and she drew and I drew and I drew and she drew, and we just drew all the time. And she would put them up all over the place. And I got really good at it. You know, what happened was I started getting relaxed about the drawing. Like, I would be able to draw without having to think very hard, what am I doing? I just started the pen or the pencil or, you know, dark pencil on the paper, and I just let it go. And then I just kept on going and building on it rather than having an idea beforehand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of young artists think they have to have an idea beforehand, and I was lucky to understand that you don't have to. It's just like if a good guitarist just strums his guitar, and before you know it, he creates a song. You may think it's a song he's already written, but he may tell you like he's never played that before, you know? So I became innovative, and innovation was like the centerpiece of my drawing. I didn't know it back then, and looking back now, and so forth.
Peter, which of the masters had the greatest effect on you?
You know, when I started discovering them, it was all of them. You know, from Van Gogh, I got color and brushstrokes. From Rembrandt, I got light and shadow and highlights. From various other artists, I learned composition. But most of all, I went to an art school. When I was graduating high school, and you know, I came to America when I was 16 years old. I lived in Shanghai till I was about 11, 12. Then we moved to India, we moved to South Africa, and a little bit of Cyprus, then to Israel, and from Israel to Paris. And from Paris, I came to New York at the age of 16. So I went to a Lafayette High School in Brooklyn. I lived there for 2 years. At 18, I moved to Manhattan with a friend. But listen to this. I'm in the gym in my first day in high school, Lafayette High School, and I'm putting my first pair of sneakers on. I never had a pair of American high-top sneakers, right?
Yes.
And as I'm putting them on and I'm tying the bow, there's a tall guy next to me. He stands up right next to me, and he lets out a reel out like he was an opera singer, took opera classes, like an aria, like, yeah, really loud, right?
Yes.
And it, like, shook me up. And he goes, oh, my, I'm so sorry, man. Did I scare you? I says, no, it's okay, it's okay. And he reaches his hand out to me, and he says, hi, my name is Paul Sarvino.
And the rest is history. We're talking to Peter Max, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Peter Max, who's known as the global artist and America's painter laureate. Peter, your palette of bold colors, you're very famous for that. The bright colors, the kaleidoscope of colors. Talk to us about the magic of bold colors.
You know, when I became a painter, when I lived in China, you know, I fell in love with colors. I used colors a lot. Then when I went to high school, I was going to become an astronomer. I never thought that there was a place for me as an artist because, as my father used to say, artists are starving artists. You see them in the streets with the easels, and they're, like, always begging for money. But my mother said, Jacob, let him take a little art. Let him go to art class for just a little bit. So my father agreed, and I went to a class with Frank Riley. Frank Riley went to the Art Students League, which is a beautiful school diagonally across from Carnegie Hall on 57th Street in Manhattan. And when Frank Riley was in that school as a student, maybe 40 years earlier, there was a young kid that sat next to him for 7 years in art school. You know what his name was?
No.
Norman Rockwell.
Wow.
So Riley and Rockwell painted alike. Riley was a realist, but he stayed in school and taught that realism, and Rockwell became the famous Saturday Evening Post cover artist. And I fell in love with the class, and I stayed there for 1 year, another year, before you knew it, I was there 6.5 years. And when I came out, I was an amazing realist. I could paint like Rockwell. But photography came in, and nobody was interested in realism. And but I had a knack of drawing, because I used to draw with my Ama lady, right, in Shanghai. So I drew loose drawings, and before you knew it, you know that the 60s were like the cosmic years, right?
Yes.
So I drew kind of cosmic images because I wanted to become an astronomer. I painted stars and planets and Saturns. And I created a whole world of my own. And before you knew it, big corporations came to me, and they wanted to license my work and put it on things, on beach towels, on dinnerware. You can't imagine. This was like in the late 60s. And I did 72 licensing deals with my images. It did. You wouldn't believe this number. $2 billion at retail. Not in my pocket. That was at retail over 3.5 years. And it was mind-boggling. You know, in 1969 to 72, $2 billion is like $20 billion today. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that bothered me was that I was an artist and not a designer, like, who does clothes. And the only other designers were, like, you know, Pierre Cardin or Dior, you know, people like this. And I didn't want to be in that crowd. I wanted to be an artiste. So I gave it all up, even though I missed it. I loved the licensing. And I started painting. And I got to do magazine covers. And I had museum exhibitions. I had so many museum shows. And in most cases, my museum shows were always the most attended show in the history of a museum. I had a show at the Hermitage Museum in Russia, which is one of the largest museums in the world. I had one in San Francisco at the De Young Museum, which is as big as the Metropolitan Museum in New York. It was the most attended show in its 30-40-year history. And because of that, more and more museums wanted me to have shows there. So I've had 30, 40 unbelievable museum shows in medium-sized museums and some of the most largest museums. And my art started selling. I started being in exhibitions. I started, you know, getting tremendous notoriety. I've done, believe it or not, in the last 11, maybe 9 years, over 1,100 magazine covers, if you can imagine that.
We're talking to Peter Max. Peter, The Umbrella Man, one of your most famous paintings. What was the inspiration of The Umbrella
Man? I'll tell you what. One day, you know, I used to like to buy little antiques, you know, and I bought like antiques. And there was a little photograph in a little antique frame, and in the photograph, the store owner said to me, "That's Picasso on the right, and the man with the derby with the umbrella is what is a famous cellist?
Pablo Casals.
Pablo Casals. Very good, thank you. And so I bought it because of Picasso. I hardly knew who Pablo Casals was, and I had that little frame piece, you know, on my desk. It was only maybe 5 by 7 inches. And one day I started drawing a man, and I was the back of a man. I put a derby on him like Pablo Casals, and I put an umbrella. So rather than painting Picasso, which was just a bald guy with suspenders, I painted the derby guy in a derby jacket with an umbrella, and I called him the Umbrella Man. And people started buying him, and I would make drawings, and I would make prints, and I would make paintings, and he's become like a very, very big icon in my, you know, in all of my iconography of like famous images, you know.
Another time, Nancy Reagan asked you to paint something for her husband, President Reagan. What did you paint?
I painted a Statue of Liberty for him. And when I met Reagan and he was at the White House, he asked me to, he and actually she made the phone call for him, and asked me to come to the White House on July 4th. It was his first July 4th. It was in 1981, and I was up to 6 liberties. I used to paint from 76 to 81 every year an additional liberty. That means the first year I painted 1, the next year I painted 2, then 3, then 4, then 5, and I was ready to paint 6, and I have a big duplex. I'm going down the circular stairwell, and my girl Mimi, who is answering the phones, handed me the phone. She says, "It's the First Lady." but like almost with the, like she didn't even believe it was the first lady. So I pick up the phone, and the lady says to me, please hold on for Nancy Reagan. And there was Nancy Reagan. And she says, are you still painting the Liberties every year? Yes, I said, and it's so kind for you to call me. She says, the president had 53 or 54 pieces before he was governor, and now he's got 59 Peter Maxes. And he knows that you're painting six Liberties this 4th of July, and they were 8 feet tall and 4 feet wide. How would you like to paint them at the White House? That's about 8 days from now. And I immediately said I would love it. We made arrangements. My friends that worked with me hired a truck, you know, and the paintings were just slightly sketched in. Barely, you could barely see them, but just a few pencil strokes. And they built me a big stage, and there I was on the White House lawn, which is enormously long. You know, when you see the White House from the front, it's a beautiful white building, but when you want on the other side, the lawn must be maybe 8 or 10 blocks long. And I was very close, you know, on the right-hand side to the White House. And there I painted six Liberties. I started painting about 11 o'clock, and by 3, 4 o'clock, I was almost finished. I was going from painting to painting to painting. And my paints were on wheels, you know, like a big table that had about 70 colors on them in jars. And my guys would move the paints with me as I would go from painting to painting. And as I'm turning around, I see maybe 200 very well-groomed people in dark khaki uniform, you know, four wide and maybe 100 deep, walking in my direction. I didn't think they were coming to where I was. And every once in a while, I turn around, and they're getting closer and closer, and suddenly the first three, four groups opened up, and a man in a black suit comes out from the middle, and to my surprise, it's Ronald Reagan. And he comes up the ladder, you know, like five steps, comes up to me, goes, Peter, I'm your biggest fan. I owned 53 pieces before I was governor, and now I've got 59. Thank you so much for painting here. This is a big thrill for me. My first 4th of July at the White House, and I've got Peter Max painting Liberties in my garden. What a thrill for me. And about 5-6 minutes later, I was painting a little bit. He wanted to see me paint. He picks up a brush. He looks at it, you know, and plays with the hairs on this dry brush. And before you know it, he's over my palette and looks like he wants to dip the brush into a color. I says, go ahead. He goes, where? Well, he was right over the light blue. I says, right there. So he dips the color in, and then he comes up over to one of my paintings, the middle one, and he said, may I? And I said, yes. And he says, where? And I showed him a certain area. And I'm actually sitting 5 feet away from that painting, and he did like a long, thin S, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And right where I had two little long, thin S's, let me look right now, one was in light red, one was in yellow, and he did a little bit stronger blue. I'm standing right in front of it. I'm actually touching it. I'm touching right now the Ronald Reagan brushstroke. And he said, oh, my God, I painted on a Peter Max painting. Thank you so much. And he stayed with me for about an hour and watched me paint. And it was a huge thrill. After about 5-10 minutes, he became like a friend, you know. It wasn't anymore Ronald Reagan, the actor, and it wasn't anymore the president. He became like someone I started to know, you know, an hour standing where I do my most, you know, intimate thing, which is paint, and there he was with me. And every time I made a nice brush stroke, he made a sound effect like, ooh, ah, mmm. And it was really great. I enjoyed it. And I then spent many, many hours on the phone with him, you know, from week to week and month to month. And that was a very big thrill for me.
We're talking to Peter Max, and because of that, he ultimately teamed up with Chrysler CEO Lee Iacocca to spearhead raising $262 million for the restoration of the statue. I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Peter Max. Peter, as a follow-up to that last segment, can you talk about teaming up with Lee Iacocca and how you raised $262 million to restore
the
statue?
Here's what happened. I'm back from the White House painting the Six Liberties. I'm on a natural high. you know, I can't believe there I was in the White House, on the White House lawn, with Nancy Reagan, Ronald Reagan standing next to me for almost an hour, painting six liberties. They were now in my big room right there. I'm looking at them, and I'm sitting in the chair. The doorbell rings, and a young man speaks on the speakerphone. He wants to come up and see me. And he says, I wrote a book on the Statues of Liberty, and I want to see you. I saw you on TV, and I must talk to you. So I said, come on up. And his name was Bob Grace. And he tells me about how the statue is falling apart, and she needs fixing. And if there's anybody in the world who can make it happen, I'm best known for the Statue of Liberty. Peter Max, you could do it. And I thought to myself, you know, he's enthusiastic, but like, where, how will I ever get, you know, $200-300 million to get the Statue of Liberty renovated? It's not something I know how to do. Ask me to paint something, ask me to sell something, give some of the money away, but how am I going to raise that kind of money? And after a while, he leaves, and he gives me his card, and gives me his book that he wrote about the Statue of Liberty, and I was thrilled that he came to talk to me and everything, and I felt kind of like a little guilty and a little like, what can I do? Who can I call? What should I do? And right next to me, on a diagonal, I had a rear-view projection television set that I had just gotten a week before, and I had never touched it yet. I never turned it on. So I'm looking for the remote control, and it's actually right on the table near me. And I hit the button, and it goes on. And I pull up the chair a little forward more so I could look at the screen. And it's a story about Lee Iacocca. And I'm listening. You know, he talks about buying American cars. And I go, that's the man. I got to call him. But I don't know how to call him. I know he's in Detroit at Chrysler. And then I remembered my friend Bobby Edelson that I used to know from art school. And then he went to advertising class. And then he worked for Lee Iacocca. I looked up his number. I hadn't spoken to him maybe in 3-4 years. And I got him on the phone, and I said to him, do you still work with Lee Iacocca? He says, yes, I see him every Tuesday and Thursday for about 3-4 hours. I'm like his right-hand advertising guy. Wow. And he says, Peter, I just saw you on TV doing the Statue of Liberty. Unbelievable. I said, you know, I need somebody to help me raise some money for getting the Statue of Liberty renovated. You think Mr. Iacocca could be the man? He says, absolutely. Like in other words, he didn't think. He didn't say, I don't know. He went, absolutely. He says, and you know why? Because our campaign is called Buy American. I'm going to call Lee right now and see if I can get him interested. So he hangs up the phone, and 10 minutes later, I get a phone call, and it's Lee Iacocca's secretary. And she says, I'm calling for Mr. Iacocca. He happens to be in New York tomorrow morning. He wants to come and visit you. Is 11 o'clock fine? I said, yes. And then she says to me, okay, he'll be there 11. Now, please don't be late. I says, I can't be late. I live here. And so at 11 o'clock, I had sent my housekeeper out to get all kinds of breakfast goodies, enough at least for 6 people, even though it was just the 2 of us, fruits and bagels and croissants and all kinds of nice things. And the whole table was set. I live on the Hudson River, so I've got all these 8-10 windows facing the river. The table is right there, very long table, filled, you know, with like decaf and coffee and all kinds of like goodies. And 11 on the button, you know, the doorbell rings, and my doorman says, a very famous person's coming up. I said, who? He says, you know, the president of, or chairman of Chrysler Motors, Lee Iacocca. Oh, my God. I said, yes. I stand at my door with the door open, and out of the elevator comes Lee Iacocca. He goes, Peter, how you doing? This is Lee. Walks right in. And the first question he says to me, what do you think it's going to cost? I said, I have no idea, Mr. Iacocca. Please sit down. And he stands there still, and he says, I think it's going to be probably like $250 to $300 million. Where's your nearest phone? I said, right over here. He picks up the phone, and he dials the phone number. And then he whispers to me, Strobeer. And he calls up some chairman or somebody. It was a buddy of his. He says, I'm here with Peter Max, who just painted the Statue of Liberty at the White House. And the guy on the other phone says, oh, I saw him on TV. And Lee says to me, he just saw you on TV. Because it was televised on every station, you know, when I was painting for Ronald Reagan. It was his first 4th of July, and every channel was there. And he says, can I hit you up for $5-6 million? We're going to get the Statue of Liberty renovated. And a guy on the phone goes, yes, Lee says, I'll call you later with the details. We'll work out the details. Hangs up the phone, and he gives me the number 5 with the number 1 from the other hand. He says, I just raised 6. How do you like that? I go, that's unbelievable. Let me make another phone call. He cups the phone with a hand, and he says, I'm calling Coca-Cola. Same thing. I'm here with Lee, with Peter Max. He just painted at the Statue of Liberty. And then he turns to me. He saw you. Well, great. Okay. He says, I'm raising some money to get the Statue of Liberty renovated. Can I hit you up for $6 million? And I'll talk to you about the details later. We'll get the statue renovated. Thank you, my friend. Good. He goes, 12. So he raised $12 million. He's been in my apartment maybe a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Then he makes one more call, and he raises $3 or $4 million, and I think he was at $15-16 million. Then he sat down and had coffee with me. He says, is this where you paint? Is this where you draw? And we start talking about each other's history. He says, I'm going to get that money raised in less than a month. Well, it took him a little bit more than a month, but not much more, and he raised $360 or $370 million, and the Statue of Liberty got taken down, you know, like down to its scaffolding. They put scaffolding around it, and they went inside, and they renovated her. It took about 6 months to a year, I forgot. And the Statue of Liberty was brand new within like a year from the day I called them up. Can you imagine that?
Fantastic story. Peter Max, you have a special place in your heart for the 9/11 firemen and policemen.
Yes.
The 343 firemen, the first responders. What did you do for each of their families?
Here's what happened. When the towers went down, you know, I was, what year was that?
2001.
2001, like 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, I was home with my beautiful new wife, Mary, who is in my studio with me today. And I was heartbroken of all the people that died and all the brave firemen who rushed into the buildings to save everybody, and then the buildings collapsed. It was like the most outrageous, dramatic visual I ever experienced my whole life when you saw those buildings coming down, like an accordion, you know? They just came down, they collapsed on each other. Unbelievable. I had tears in my eyes. I was beyond myself. I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. And phone calls started coming, and did you see this? Did you see this? Yes, I saw it, and this and that, and my God, what can we do? Oh, my God, thousands of people died, and this and that. And then I heard some report about all the firefighters who rushed in, and I thought to myself, you know what I could do? I could paint some of those firefighters and give their portraits to their family. So I had somebody reach out to the fire department, and we got like about maybe 6-8 photographs in, and I did these portraits. They were about maybe 14 by 14 inches, or maybe 12 by 14, or 14 by 16. I think 14 by 16 inches each. And we found out who the families were, and I had the rookies, the young rookies from the fire department, bring up American flags that were folded. And we opened up a fold, and we stuck a portrait in there, and they delivered these 8 portraits. And then two of them came back to me and says, Peter, the tears and the crying that happened in these apartments when we delivered this is beyond belief. The sorrow, the joy, the thank yous, it was beyond belief that you took our time to do this. And that so inspired me to paint every one of the 343 firefighters. I painted all of them. It took me 3-4 months. I worked every day late into the night. And the rookies came from the fire departments and delivered every family a picture of their loved one that they lost. And I was so deeply, deeply moved. Normally, you wouldn't think, like, I'm going to do 343 firefighters. It's like a year's work, you know? But I did it. And then, after they were delivered and I got thank you notes and phone calls and tears and crying, you wouldn't believe, for like a year. And then a big museum called me up, and they wanted to do a huge museum show, and they wanted all the firefighters. And I couldn't do the firefighters again. It was like I couldn't call these people up and ask them to loan me back the paintings. So you know what I did? I had all the silk screens and everything. I made another set of 343. It took me another 3 months. And then I have now one set that can go from museum to museum. I've got another set of the firefighters. Can you imagine that?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the greatest art books of all time is The Art of Peter Max. It's the number one art book in the United States for the last several years, and the biggest art book in almost the history of art. Spectacular book on some of the creations of this phenomenal man. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with the most famous living artist in the world today, who is a better man for these last several years because of his wife, Mary. Peter, if you were to paint a picture entitled Anything Is Possible, what would you paint, Peter Max?
I would paint my wife, Mary. I walked out of my studio one day, 15 years ago, and I looked across the street, and there were two girls who just ran into each other. And I'm with my friend Chucky, and I see this girl with blonde hair and blue eyes and a beautiful face, and I say to my friend, I'm going to marry this girl. I never in my life ever said this to anybody, and that's what I did. I said, you know, that I am going to marry this girl. And what I did is I walked across the street, I said hello to her, and within a few months we were married. And she is now 10 feet away from me. She's the greatest inspiration of my life, and she's the most wonderful girl. She comes from Buffalo. She is like an angel. She inspires an artist like no artist could be ever inspired. And just her living being, being near me, is like so inspirational, I can't even tell you. I wake up in the morning, I look at her, and I feel creative, I feel fulfilled. So I'm very, very lucky. I also have a beautiful daughter named Libra and a son named Adam. Every time I stand in front of the canvas, I don't know what I'm going to paint. I pick up the brush, I dip it into a color. I don't know what I'm painting, and I say to myself, anything is possible. Can you imagine? I say this to your title of your show is what I say to myself every day for the last 23 years.
You love people, and you take risks. Talk to us about taking risks in life.
You're taking a risk, and you're inspired, and you pick up a brush, or you do something. Sometimes when you're inspired, anybody listening, you're inspired, you make a phone call. You want to feel like calling somebody because you're inspired to share something? Go do it. Because if you're inspired, there's an energy behind it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And if you follow with the energy, it's good energy. I think God gave us this. He gave us inspiration to be inspired with. If you follow it, something is there to surprise us.
You've met people throughout the world. Were there one or two, Peter, that you just said, wow?
Oh, I said it 100 times. I said it when Bill Clinton was at my studio. I said it when Hillary was in my studio. I said it when I met Ronald Reagan. I said it when I met Lee Iacocca. I said it so many times. I'm so fortunate to have met amazing people, including people not known to many people, friends of mine who are dear buddies, who I love when they call me and I love when they come to my studio, and some of them who work with me. They inspire me, my staff inspires me, and I'm just a lucky guy.
People who keep enthusiasm and appreciation in their life are very healthy, fulfilled people, and you have both of those in spades. Talk to us about enthusiasm and being appreciative.
Enthusiasm is something that comes from within, and you should appreciate it and welcome it. And I appreciate it because it works. It fulfills me. It guides you. And so it's good to be inspired, it's good to be enthusiastic, and it's good to follow your inspiration. I always say to young artists, paint what you wish to paint. When you have a brush in hand with paint and you don't even know what to paint, just paint. The painting will come.
Are there one or two big projects you still have in your heart?
I have many projects in my heart. You know, having helped renovate the Statue of Liberty, or having painted the last six presidents. And I'm doing projects now on the internet, and people can go to petermax.com and see all the amazing projects I'm into. And I'm doing magazine covers, and I'm painting every day. And, you know, the internet is like an amazing place, and I have some very good people who are building all kinds of things around, you know, the internet and about, you know, all of those new handheld machines they have, you know, these iPhones and so forth. We're going to be licensing images for iPhones, so people can have Peter Max faces, you know, on their iPhones.
There's a saying, a picture's worth a thousand words. A painting's worth a thousand words. Why is that, Peter?
I don't know. It's something like that. A picture is like a frozen, fantastic image. So I'm walking around my big studio, and I'm looking at dozens, maybe if not a dozen, almost 100 paintings, and they all are from different parts of my life, different time zones. There's a picture of my wife. There's a picture of my daughter, Libra, Adam, Statue of Liberty, angels flying, profile ladies, landscapes, hearts, profile ladies, Martin Luther King. I mean, I got pictures of everybody here. I got a picture of me with Dalai Lama I'm looking at. I have a picture I just painted of Mona Lisa not too long ago. So, you know, and the Statue of Liberty is everywhere. Paul McCartney, Frank Sinatra, George Harrison, John Lennon, Ringo. All I'm looking at all of those things, all painted and drawn, liberties and liberties, Grammys, and, you know, just unbelievable.
When you paint, you listen to music.
I listen to music all the time. I have a full-time DJ who does nothing but play great music to me. I love jazz, fusion jazz, Chick Corea, everything. I love every kind of music. And he plays it for me. I love it, and I'm totally inspired.
As our time winds down this evening, last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners?
If you're creative, go with the creativity and just go and go with your feelings. Don't ask questions. Don't wait for anything. Just do. The doing is the biggest thing. Just go get into the doing of it, and the doing will take you further.
Peter Max, for 60-plus years, you've been an American treasure. You've inspired all of us. You've made life a bit better for billions of people. Thanks for all you do. Please keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, my dear friend.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.
Believe in yourself.